Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to learn the principles of the kingdom?
Amen.
And the laws of faith and how they work.
Yep.
Now then, when you start out on this, it's like the very first experience I had with God. I was just a teenage boy. And I had a whole bunch of warts come up on my left arm and my elbow and my hands. Both hands had them on there. Of course, you know, I'm like any good, hard-working American citizen that's got a problem you don't like, you try to change it. So naturally, I went to the doctor, or actually, I didn't go to the doctor, I went to the drugstore, and I asked the people there if they had anything that would get rid of warts. And they said they did. They had some white medicine stuff you put on there, and said if you put it on there every day, it should take them off. Well, I tried and tried and tried with that stuff, and it just got worse instead of better. I didn't understand that. So one day I was in there putting those spark plugs in a car for a guy. I used to work in an automotive shop. As I was putting those spark plugs in that car, you know, the spark plugs are tight, so I'm pulling a wrench, and it kind of when it broke loose, my arm hit the wall over there, and one of those big old warts sticking out of my elbow hit it, and it just knocked it off and started bleeding like crazy. So, of course, I grabbed me a red rag and wiped it around my arm and kept it wiped off, went ahead and changed the spark plugs while I was working. The guy that was working on his car, he said, "Thurman," he said, "do you know Miss Ott Klein up here?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you know she takes warts off of people?" I said, "She takes warts off of people? I never heard of such a thing." He said, "Yeah, she takes them off." I said, "I don't know what she does, but she said, I've seen several people that used to have warts that they went to see her, and later they were no longer warts." So I go home that afternoon, and I told Mother, I said, "Mother, you know Miss Ott Klein that goes to the Baptist church up there with you?" She said, "Well, of course I do, son. She's in my Sunday school class." I said, "Do you know she takes warts off?" She said, "No, I never heard of such a thing." So anyway, she said, "Well, let's go up there and see her." So we jumped in the car and we drove up there. We walked in. Mother said, "You know, my son says a man told him at work today that you can take these warts off." Boy, she looked at them. She felt my arms, my hands, my arms, everything. She looked at them. She said, "Boy, you got a bunch of them, don't you?" I did have a bunch of them. And I said, "What do I need to do?" She held them and rubbed them and all that stuff. And then she went and got a piece of paper and a pencil. She said, "Write your full name down on this piece of paper. Thurman Lee Scribner." So I did that, and I handed that to her. She said, "Okay, this is your full name, Thurman Lee Scribner." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Okay." And so we talked a little while, and she said, "Okay," she said, they'll come off." I said, "What do you do?" She said, "No problem, Thurman, just believe they'll come off." I thought, she hadn't done anything. She didn't doctor them. She didn't do anything. But she wanted my full name. I had no idea why she needed my full name. But now I know she was going to go to the throne of grace. And if she goes to the throne of grace, she's going to appear before the courts of heaven. She's going to step up to the Lord, and she's going to say, "Father, in Jesus' name, Thurman's got some warts on his body, but I'm your daughter. And I'm walking clean and holy, and I'm washed in the blood, and I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. And you said in your word that anything I ask you," in John 14:13-14, "anything you ask, you will do it for me." And so she's presenting herself before the throne room of God. And of course, Satan's there. Jesus is there. When she reminds him that this is what he said, God, he said this right here in this particular place. And if you'll do what I tell you to do and you'll obey me, then I'll do whatever you ask me to do, and it's done in Jesus' name. So what I didn't know, didn't see until after I left, she goes into the throne room of God, and she talks to the Lord about my situation. Now, why did she want my whole name? Because she wants to know that when she goes to the throne of grace, And when the devil said, when she says, you know, there's a young boy down there, I don't know what his name is, but he's got a bunch of warts on his arm, and I need you to take them off for me. The devil was to step right in and say, no, wait a minute, God. She says, there's a boy down there. Lord, there's a lot of boys down there. And a lot of them have warts on their bodies and they need help. But she didn't say who it is, so you can't answer that prayer. You see where I'm coming from? You got to know what you're doing. You got to be specific. When you go into a court of law, you need to know what you're doing. You need to know the rules and regulations, don't you? But if you don't know them, then you get gypped out of knowing what's right for yours. Well, anyway, I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. I had no idea. So she just said, don't worry about it. They'll come off. Your name is Thurman Lee Scribner. I said, yes, ma'am. That's my full name, Thurman Lee Scribner. So I said, I don't need to do nothing else. She said, nothing. It's all there is to it. So we talked a little while with her, and then we left. Mother said, she's been in my Sunday school class for years. I know that woman well. She said, I did not know that she does whatever to take those off. She said, she didn't do anything we could see. Isn't that true? You don't have to have nobody with you. All you got to have is Jesus. All you got to know is the rules of the laws of spirit of faith. By faith, you live by faith. So I can just see her now, after we left. I can just see this woman going in, getting on her knees, this elderly woman. I can just see this woman getting on her knees, coming to the throne room of God, walking into the throne. Of course, I have no idea what all she really did, but now that I know these principles, I know what the people do. So she starts praying, thanking the Lord. Lord, I praise you and thank you. I just praise you that you give us all these promises, that you give us this new covenant that's got better promises that we can stand on. We can ask you for anything. Like you said here, just two of us on earth agree about anything is done. She started naming off the promises of God. And every time you name off those promises, it says, this is what the Lord says. Every time you say one of those things, Jesus steps up and says, that's my rules. That's my rules. I said if he could ask the Father in my name anything, you would do it for him, son. He goes through all these rules. And then I can just see her as she says, Father, in the name of Jesus, you made me all these promises. So I'm going to ask you to take all the warts off of Thurman Lee Scribner's body. Completely remove them. You said in your word I could ask for anything and you would do it for me. Now, Lord, you said do everything with thanksgiving. Because if I don't do thanksgiving, as soon as I walk away, the devil will step in and say, you didn't thank him for that. I mean, you talk about a legalist. The devil is a legalist. You got to do it his way. You got to do it God's way. But she done everything right. She worshiped. She prayed. She thanked the Lord. She done everything right. And then she stood up and said, Father, I want to thank you for taking all them warts off of Thurman Lee Scribner's body. Now then, Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, let not the warts on the arms and hands of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Lord, now let not the warts on the arms and hands of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. It's done in Jesus' name. Now then, Lord, I've come before your throne. I've done everything you've told me to do. I've prayed and I've used the scripture. I've prayed in faith. Now then, the warts and everything that's on Thurman Lee Scribner will go away because you made me a promise. You said they would. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. There's a tremendous battle going on in the spirit world that we don't even know about. We don't. Some of us never learned these spiritual laws, so we wonder why we can't get a prayer answered. But if you do anything that's against the God's rules of faith, anytime the devil is there, and he's always there, and he's there to accuse you. So whenever she says, okay, now, Lord, I'm going to ask you to take these warts off of Thurman Scrivener. And if I didn't use Thurman Lee Scrivener, since that's my full name, there may be another Thurman Scrivener down here on the earth. But a Thurman Lee Scrivener, that's just like one time the Lord told me to call Philip Anthony Wren. I didn't know where Philip Anthony Wren lived. I prayed over him years ago. So I went in. And whenever you ask the Lord to do something, you got to be specific. So I went in. I didn't know where he lived, so I told the girls. I went to the front office. I said, girls, I don't know where Philip Anthony Wren's at, but I said I prayed over him years ago. The Lord told me to call him. He needs help. So I need to know where he's at, and I don't know where he's at. So would y'all go on the internet and see if you can find the Philip Anthony Wren? Well, then a little while, I came back by, and they said, Pastor, we found 3 Philip Anthony Wrens. Now, boy, that's not usual, is it? That'd be like saying I found 3 Thurman Lee Scriveners. Okay, one of us is the real Thurman Lee Scrivener. But we don't know which one. So I don't have, I said, where are they? Well, I said, one of them's in California, one's in Chicago, one's in Florida. And I said, okay, wow. So they gave me the phone number. I went into the phone and I dialed up the number. This young man came on the phone. I said, is this Philip Anthony Wren? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you know Thurman Lee Scrivener? He said, Thurman Scrivener? I never heard of you. I said, well, you must be the wrong Philip Wren. Because I said, the Lord told me to call you. And I said, if you don't know who I am, you're not the right one. So I hung up the phone and I dialed another one. After I got through dialing that number, again, I called the boy. I said, do you know? I said, this Philip Anthony Wren? He said, it sure is. I said, do you know Thurman Scrivener? He said, never heard of you. So I did this again. The last one, I got, okay, I had 3 numbers, 3 names. I called again. A young man, I said, are you Philip Anthony Wren? He said, I sure am. I said, do you know Thurman Scrivener? He said, never heard of you. I said, well, you're the wrong one. So I said, thank you, I'm sorry I bothered you. So I come back in, I said, okay, Lord, I tried everything. You told me to call Philip Anthony Wren. I tried everything I knew to do to find Philip, and I can't find him. I said, Lord, you have Philip, the right one, call me. I see when you go to the throne of God, you can step right into the throne room of God and ask God these things, and he'd be happy to help you. So I said, Lord, I need to know where this boy's at. I can't find him. So you have the real Philip Anthony Wren. Call me. And the next day, I walked by the office up there. One of the girls said, Pastor, Philip Wren just called and said he wants to talk to you. The next day. So I said, okay. I said, Philip. He said, yes. I said, how are you doing, Philip? He said, I'm great. I said, you still living here in Justin, Dallas, Fort Worth area? He said, yeah, I'm living over in Fort Worth right now. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm not doing a whole lot of anything right now. And he said, I need a job. I said, well, why don't you come over to see me and let's talk? So Philip came over and he had a little girl out in the front, out in the car. I talked to him probably an hour or so. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to find some work. And he said, I'm having trouble finding work. And I said, I went outside with him. I said, well, who's this girl in the car? He said, well, she's my girlfriend. So I said, well, I said, are you living with this girl? He said, well, yeah. We're living in my grandmother's house. But he said, yeah, I'm living with her. She's living with me. I said, Philip, don't you know that sin? He said, well, so he said, Thurman, everybody's doing it. Have you ever heard that before? everybody's doing it. I said, no, everybody ain't doing it, and I ain't doing it. Well, I know there's at least one that ain't living in sin. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it just because you're doing it. And I really don't believe everybody's doing it, do you? So, do you want to? No, I'm okay. So anyway, we talk a little while. I said, have your girlfriend come in. I want to talk to her. So he went out to the car and told her to come in. She came in a little while, and I met her and talked to her a little while and everything. I said, how are you doing, young lady? She said, well, I'm not doing real well. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, I had some tests done by a doctor the other day, and they didn't come back too good. They're kind of bad. I said, what kind of tests you had? She said, well, I had a pap smear. And then that pap smear, I got some problems. I said, are you living with this boy? Well, yeah, what's wrong with that? I said, everything. Everything wrong. I said, you open the door to the devil. That devil is sitting over here on the doorstep waiting for you to sin. And then he goes before the throne of God and says, God, look at your stupid little girl and stupid little boy here. They're sinning. I have legal right to them. If you don't sin, he can't accuse you, but if you sin. So anyway, I told her, I said, do you want to die with ovarian cancer? She said, well, of course I don't. I said, well, then you're going to have to stop doing what you're doing because that's going to be the next step. I said, you're going to have cancer? I said, you can't live in sin, having sex with a boy out of wedlock, and expect for sin not to go on you, a sickness. I said, because God said in his word he will judge every act of sexual immorality. What do you think he means when he says, I will judge every act of sexual immorality? He means what he says. And he says what he means. So anyway, we're learning these principles. So anyway, after we got down with Philip and his girlfriend, got them to repent of their sins, got them headed on the right track, I said, Philip, I need somebody to help me around here. So I said, why don't I just put you to work? So we did, and of course his little girlfriend, she was always there with him, so she helped a little too. So I finally said, well, I might as well put both of y'all on the payroll, both of you working. And so I had no problem with those two kids. And of course, as we go through life, Philip is the one that I prayed over years later. I prayed over Philip, or actually years earlier, I prayed over Philip, and Philip had hundreds and hundreds of warts and scars all over his body. And when I prayed and went to the throne of grace, when I come before the throne of God, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, we're going to bow down here on this floor, right here on our knees. And we're going to take Matthew 18:19. I said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. I said, so we're going to pray. And when we pray, I said, first of all, I've spent a couple of hours building his faith with the promises of God. You go over these promises enough, people will finally get to where they believe it. Do you know that? You say, again, I tell you, if two of us on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If I tell that to you enough and long enough, you know, grace eventually you're going to get to where you believe that. Isn't that wonderful? If you finally believe it, it's going to work. And it will work. So, that's just like whenever I prayed over Philip. He had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of warts and scars all over his body. I mean, he had them everywhere. But when we prayed, I told him, I said, son, you've got to believe. God is a faith God. And if you don't believe, he will not do it. But if you'll only believe, he'll do anything he says he'll do if it can be done by faith. So Philip, I said, do you believe God will take these warts off? Do you believe they'll come off when we pray for you? He said, Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you read in this Bible the last couple of hours, I believe God can do anything. And is he on safe ground?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, God can do anything, okay. But if you don't believe it, it won't work. So we prayed for Philip years ago when he was an 11-year-old boy. And within just a matter of weeks, Philip didn't have a wart or a scar nowhere on his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. But I told his mother after I prayed, I said, if you will remain with me in faith, with no doubt in your heart, I guarantee that these warts and scars, whatever one, come off in Jesus' name. And so we prayed for Philip, and it did. How could I have the faith to do that? I go back those years when I was a younger boy, when that Miss Ott Klein, when she prayed for me, I didn't know she had prayed for me. She didn't pray visibly or that I could hear. I did not know what she was doing. I just know the only thing I knew that happened was I wrote down my full name, Thurman Lee Scribner. I now know that she wrote down my full name so she could come before the throne of God and ask the Lord, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, I've got a young man down here. His name is Thurman Lee Scribner. And he's got warts all over his elbows and his hands and everything. And I want you to take those off because he don't want those. He's trying to get them off. He don't know how to do it. He's trying to go the medicine way and it ain't working. But I'm going to come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And as your daughter, I'm going to ask you to take those off. And she's standing on the promises of God. And when we stand on the promises of God, if we're doing everything right, God wants to answer our prayer every time. You know that, right? He wants to answer your prayer. So anyway, after I prayed, all of Philip's warts and scars, there was hundreds of those things on his body, they all came off. And then, of course, I go back to my little episode there with Ms. Ott Klein, back there in the Baptist church when I was just a kid, probably 18, 19 years old. I look at that and I think about how that all works. And I just see her going to the throne room of God and then thanking the Lord for doing that. And then she lays it in the Lord's hands. And of course, Satan's over here trying, I've got to find something wrong so you can't answer that woman's prayer. But he couldn't find nothing. She done everything right. You see how important it is to walk in the laws of faith? You can't argue with the truth. There's people that will try to get you to argue with the truth, but you can't argue with the truth. The truth, that's just the way it is. But Satan, he's really good at trying to deceive you. He'll do everything he can. But we stood on the promise, and of course, I didn't know nothing to do. She just told me that they'll come off. That's all she told me. The warts will come off. Well, what am I going to do? I don't know nothing to do. I know that I've been doctoring them for weeks and they ain't come off. They ain't getting any smaller, but I got many of them, 40 or 50 of them all over my hands and arms. So anyway, I'm sitting there one morning at breakfast getting ready to go to work. I'm eating my egg or whatever, and I happen to look over my hand, and on my hand there is absolutely no warts whatsoever. They're completely gone. I looked at those warts, or where they used to be, looked at my elbow, the big old thing used to be hanging down there leaning on my arm, and all that was gone. I said, Mom, look here. I said, she said those warts would go away. And I said, look, I don't have a wart nowhere on my body. She said, well, son, when did they go away? I said, Mom, I don't know. All I know is 3 or 4 weeks ago they were there, and now they're not there. So I don't know what happened. She said, well, good grief, let's jump in the car and go over and talk to Miss Klein and tell her, thank you, and I'll just stop by and get her some flowers or something. So we went by the flower store, and my mom run in and grabbed some flowers, and we went on up there, she gave her to her, said, Miss Klein, I wanted to bring you some flowers. Said, those warts that was on my son's hands and arms was all gone. And she said, she looked at me and she felt them and she said, doesn't he do good work? I had no idea who she was talking about. I thought maybe she's got a little guy in the back closet back here somewhere, you know, and cuts these things off when I'm sleeping or something. I don't know. I have never seen anything like this in my life. How many of you had to go through a life like that and get up there and you'd never seen an answer to prayer? Lots of you have, but you not, now know that if you pray in faith, you're going to see it. He wants to answer your prayer. Well, I think about that, and I think about what it took. And so anyway, I begin to learn that now when I pray, I need to pray in faith, nothing wavering. Because what happened after the divorce and everything went away, I asked her, I said, "Miss Lyon, how in the world did you do this? There's got to be an explanation." She said, "Well, Thurman, it's really quite simple." I said, "Okay, would you mind telling me what you did? I would love to know." "Wouldn't you like to know? If that had been you?" She said, "I prayed." I said, "You prayed? To who?" What a stupid question. Who else? Who's out there for you to pray to? God the Father in the name of Jesus. So, you know, if you don't know nothing. I mean, I was raised in the Baptist church, but I never heard of such thing as praying for something like that, expecting to see God do an answer. That was totally off in left field out there. I did not know or understand that God answered prayer. I mean, what do? I mean, you're raised up as a kid and raised up at home, and your mother and daddy go to church, you hear people pray in church, you know, and everything, but you don't ever see nothing answered. Nothing happened. No miracles like this. This was totally putting me out there in left field. And I just thought, wow. So anyway, the warts goes away. And of course, over the years, that's let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 3 times, and thank you, Lord, for taking those warts off in Jesus' name. Wow. Ain't that something? But they came off and they didn't come back, and they never did come back. Yeah. And so I thought to myself, as I quoted that over, I'm going to church, and we moved to, I go to Vietnam, come back from Vietnam, I go to church there in Louisville, and one day I'm sitting there, and I'm now teaching a Sunday school class in a Baptist church, and everything, and I'm sitting there with a friend of mine that works with me. Me and him sitting there with him and his wife, me and my wife, and we're sitting there one night, and his son comes in, and on the back of the top of his hand, I think it was his left hand, he had a great big old white stuff, I don't know, that big as a quarter, at least big as a quarter. And I said, "Clip," I said, "Son, what's that on your hand? What's that stuff?" "Oh," he said, "I got a big old wart there on my hand, and there's some medicine I've been putting on her to try to take it off." I said, "You know, I had something like that, and I used a medicine like that, but it was the white stuff, to try to get some warts off years ago. But I said, it never did take it off. But I said, I run into a woman that she prayed over, and I said, she just said, write down your full name, and it'll come off. I said, how would you like for that thing to go away?" He said, "That's what I want. I want it to go away." I said, "Come over here and get you a piece of paper. Write down your full name. Clifton Wayne Hurley." I still remember that boy's name. Clifton Wayne Hurley. I said, "Write that down and give it to me." He did. And he came over and gave it to me. He said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "They'll come on." I'm beginning to talk negative. I'm beginning to get dangerous. I'm beginning to know that I go into the throne room of God when I talk to the master. And he answers prayer. Boy, this is something for me to learn. Everybody needs to learn this. We need to know how we get our prayers answered. So, anyway, we prayed. Actually, we didn't pray. I just got his name, just like she did me that day. She gave me a piece of paper with the name Clifton Wayne Hurley on top of that piece of paper, and he handed it to me. I went home that night after I went to my room, my bedroom. I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to bed. And I went in there and I got down on the side of the bed, and I quoted those scriptures Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take the warts off of Clifton Wayne Hurley. All those warts, that big old wart on the back of his hand. I ask you to take that wart off and remove it and never let it come back in the name of Jesus. Now let not the wart on the back of the hand of Clifton Wayne Hurley corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I did that 3 times. And I said, it's done. I said, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's done. About 3 weeks goes by. One night my phone rang, and I go over and it was Cliff. He said, Thurman, this is Cliff. I said, well, son, how you doing? Praise God. What good things? He said, that wart that you wrote down my name, you remember that? And I said, oh, yeah. He said, today it ain't there. It's completely gone. I said, you don't mean it. Now, you're looking at your man of faith and power here. Are we all living in that place? Too many of us don't believe the promises of God. I didn't believe them. I was trying to believe them, but God in his infinite grace and mercy was being merciful to me, an unbeliever. Lord, why can I not get the warts off that boy's hand? Because of your unbelief. You don't believe. You got to believe. Well, let me tell you what. Whenever you see it happen when you're a kid, and you see it happen a little later, and you do it the same way, and then you think, wow, this really worked. This thing come off. And you think, okay, now wait a minute. If I prayed, she prayed, and they come off. And if she prays and people with other people, that boy said this. He knew several people that had went to see Miss Clyde, and she took those warts come off when she did whatever she does. But nobody know what she's doing. I want to know what she's doing. I want to see this word, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see these promises. And so, wow. We stand on those promises. And those promises work. And so Philip, Clifton Wayne Hurley. I went to the throne room of God. I had learned the principles of the kingdom. And I went to the throne room of God for Clifton Wayne Hurley. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, and I quoted a scripture I was using. I said, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to remove all of this big old wart off the back of Clifton Wayne Hurley's hand and never let it come back in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, thank you for doing it. Now, that set the kingdom of heaven, the principles, in motion. And as they're in motion, they're going along there. But after all, what does the scripture say? When John 14:13-14, what does that say? What does John 14:13-14 say? Can we put that on the board? John 14:13-14. Somebody look over there and tell me what that says.
Wait.
What?
And
whatsoever. I mean, so does that mean I can ask for a wart to go away?
Absolutely.
Does that mean I can ask for a scar to go away? Now, wait a minute. Now, let's be reasonable here. Nobody can take scars off. Isn't that amazing? That's why we read that. You know, God would never do that for you. I mean, the devil, he'll put his little hand on your shoulder and say, now, Thurman, you don't really think. Just think. Just think of the bad things you've done all your life. Think how mean you've been. I mean, he'll bring every little thing you've ever done. But guess what? He forgot. Those are under the blood. I'm clean. When I take of the communion cup, that blood washes me as if I had never committed a sin in my life. I'm as clean as Jesus. If I'm as clean as Jesus, you're as clean as Jesus, are we on good ground?
Yes.
We're on good ground. All we got to do is to ask the Lord, what, read that again, Kim?
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify his Son. If you shall ask anything in my name,
That just sounds almost too good to be true.
It's a promise.
But it's a promise, and it works, doesn't it, girl?
Yes, it does.
I remember Kim told me one day when I first met them about this wonderful promise of Matthew 18:19. She said, wouldn't it be nice if that really did work? I said, Kim, it does really work. She said, no, it told me it couldn't work. I said, but it does work. And so I said, what you and your husband need to do, y'all need to use it. And when the first time they use that and it works, my land, you talk about a couple on dangerous ground.
Hallelujah.
They're looking for somebody to pray for now.
Amen.
I mean, they want to pray for everybody all the time. And man, you talk about seeing answers to prayer. When y'all start using the Word of God and going to the throne of God to answer, you started finding all kinds of things, right?
Amen. Yes, indeed.
And you found out that Matthew 18:19 does work.
It really means what it says.
It really means what it says.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Perfect.
It's so amazing that these principles that are there and we don't use them. Why don't we use them? I think most of us don't know they're there. I think we don't know that they work. But they do work. I mean, if you've been going to church out here very long, you've seen some miracles. But we pray in faith. In fact, somebody told me the other day when I said I pray or Thurman prays, they said, Thurman don't pray in faith. Thurman prays with crazy faith. Yeah, I had a pastor one day in Baltimore. I made a statement about something would happen if you did certain things. And this pastor, he throwed his hand up and he said, sir, how in the world can you make that bold statement about God will kill that child because that mother sins? I said, because I know my God. I know what the Word says. I know He said that He will judge every act of sexual immorality. So I said, I know that's why that child died. I said, when I got that mother to repent of sin, right down here at Cook's Medical Center, when I got that mother to repent of the sin, I went in and laid hands on that child, and I said, in a matter of hours, that child started recovering, and in a week, that child was completely out of ICU. He said, I just don't see how you do that. I said, I do it because I know what God's Word says, and I know He'll do exactly what He said in His Word. Will He?
Yes.
When you learn that, wow. To just think, I wonder how many people in my life that I've needed to call, agonized over trying to find the right number, never could find it. When I finally figured out, all I got to do is talk to God. He knows everybody's phone number. If you changed it two or three times in the last week, he knows that too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What kind of activity do we have going on now? Is there anything good going on? Anybody praying for anybody?
Yes.
So if we pray for people, should we see some kind of results?
Yes.
If you don't believe you're going to see results, you need to not pray. But I pray, I'm going to pray in faith, aren't you?
Yes.
No, I'm not going to pray in faith. I'm going to pray in crazy faith.
Crazy faith.
Crazy faith is, I guarantee, if I pray, those warts are going to come off of Philip Anthony Grant. I guarantee, Clifton Wayne Hurley, if I pray for you. Did you know after three or four times of doing that for people, I started looking at people different. Come over here, girl. Look at that. What do you see right here? Well, I don't see nothing. I said, I see a little black mole hanging off there with a chain. Well, yeah. I said, does it bother you? It bothers me like crazy all the time, but I love to wear my little gold necklace. I said, well, how would you like to get rid of that little black mole? Do we know the one that can take off black moles? So why do we let people go through life carrying that stuff when we got in us the power to get rid of that. We don't know, but it's in there, isn't it? I just stand in awe. What is available? Anyway, this lady, she was in my Sunday school class. She was fairly new. She'd only been there a few Sundays. All of a sudden, I look, see that mole on her neck. I said, how long you had that? I've been there for several years. She said, I don't wear my necklace very often, but it's constantly hanging on that mole. I said, well, why don't we ask God to take that mole off? She said, well, I don't know. I never thought about that, I guess. Okay, if you never thought about it, why don't we think about it now, huh? I mean, I'm serious. And sometimes, if you don't run into somebody that's been through the faith walk, that's learned how to get their prayers answered, you won't ever see nobody do this. Why don't the church, why do we not go around all the time looking for people to pray for? And then just when we see a need of any kind, I mean, just think. Mark 16, 17 and 18. What does that say? Mark 16, 17 and 18. Somebody just read that to me, and I mean, as a Christian, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. What does it say? Now, wait a minute. Scott just said, and these signs will follow those that believe. So first of all, we see the criteria that's there. These signs are only going to follow those that believe they're going to follow them. If you don't believe you can get your prayers answered, you might as well stay at home. But it's fun getting your prayers answered, right?
Yes.
I love it. I love getting my prayers answered, so praise the Lord. But if it says these signs shall follow those who believe, what else did it say, Scott?
In my name, they shall cast off devils.
Wait a minute. You know a Christian can't have a devil. Oh, that's what I say, Kim. In fact, most of the people we cast demons out of, who are they?
Christians.
Absolutely right. I mean, if you're a Christian and you got a problem or some kind of something that you can't get rid of, you need to find somebody that knows how to get rid of it. And the way to get rid of it is to lay your hands on them and command that spirit of courage to come out of them. Now, that if you find the sin first, that would be better, because if you find the sin, then when you cast out that spirit, they can't come back. But if you don't find the sin, they may be back in by the time they get out of the front door. Now, that's why you go to church, see people get prayed for, and then next week they're back in church and they got the same problems they had last week. Because nobody broke the curse and didn't get kicked out of them devils. But there's devils need to go and they need to stay gone. So don't be intimidated by the devil. He's just there to do his job, and he does a good job. He really does a good job. But one more time, Scott, read that verse. What does it say?
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast off devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
That last line is a killer. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they'll do what?
Yeah.
Scott, you got to have a foreign Bible. That can't be what that says. Is that what that says?
That's what it says.
These signs shall follow them that believe. We shall lay hands on the sick. Let me show you how difficult that is. Wow. She was just healed. From the top of her head to the bottom of her head. Did I lay hands on her?
Yes.
That's like that lady that day over there, me and Dave Eldon and all of us were buying some stuff for this church. We were building this church. We started to check out. There's a little lady there. She's all bent over. Dave said, "Ma'am, is something wrong with you?" And she said, "Oh, I have a splitting migraine headache." So Dave, being the nice gentle man he is, he said, "Ma'am, can we pray for you?" And as he says that, I'm reaching for her. I'm reaching because she said she had a headache, right? I don't want her to have to go through pain all afternoon, right? So I'm reaching for her, and Dave says, "Ma'am, can we pray for you?" And just as he says that, I touch her, and she says, "No." I said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry, but it's too late. I already touched you in faith." I said, "You don't have a headache now, I guarantee. You know what kind of fool that you'd be to tell somebody something? They think you're crazy." But I said, "Ma'am, what about your headache?" She said, "Right, it's gone." Now then, did Jesus tell us to do crazy things?
Yes.
He can't get much crazier and lay hands on a sick and get healed, right? Is that difficult?
No.
Yes. So why don't we go by, if somebody don't want you to lay hands on them, as you walk by and say, if you go to some of these churches, like the Baptist church I was raised up in, they don't believe that these things work. So if you hear somebody say, "Well, I've got a problem," you just walk by and say, "How you doing today, sister? You doing okay?" "No, I don't feel well at all. I'm kind of sick." "Well, Lord, may you be blessed in Jesus' name." You know, they won't nobody be offended by that, would they? But you had your hand on them, had your other hand on them, you're laying hands on them. And in the meantime, in the background, you're saying, "You devil of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus."
Amen.
And they're getting healed. That person, they walk out the door and they get about halfway out to the parking lot and they think, "Hey, I had a terrible headache in there. Mike, what happened to my headache?"
It's gone.
It's gone because you prayed in faith. Now these signs will follow them that believe. Ain't that lots of fun? I love seeing people get healed every day. Just think. If we could just take a whole bunch of people. In fact, there is a few teams of churches now that's finally getting to where they really do believe these things. And they're actually going out. The other day I was down with a man down to North Fort Worth. And they had a team of people at that church that was going out just up and down the streets laying hands on people that were sick and didn't feel good. It was from that Baptist, I don't know what kind of church it is now. Anyway, it used to be a Baptist church, but the people were going out and laying hands on people, and people were getting healed. I mean, Jesus, he shows up if you show up. Isn't that wonderful? But I just thought, you know, if we could get a hold of that. I know people right here in the Justin area. I know people right here in the Justin area that have lifelong diseases, and they wouldn't think about letting somebody pray for them. But let me tell you, I believe it's just like this shaking in my hands. I mean, taking communion virtually every day, and I know it's a done deal. I don't know exactly when God's going to take this word, but I know he's going to. I know I'm going to stand on the word of God until it happens, and I'm going to see it happen. Because I'm healed by his stripes, I guarantee it's a done deal. Everything I've seen him do is no big deal. God's going to heal me and you and everybody that'll believe him. What time?
Huh?
Oh my goodness gracious alive. Just because my hand is shaking, I mean, that doesn't appear to hinder God at all. When I pray for people, he answers my prayers, mine and Cheryl. We lay there in the bed nearly every night. In fact, we laid there last night. So I forget how many emails we answered last night.
Till
1:30 this morning. Isn't it wonderful to see God answer your prayer?
Amen.
But I go to the throne room of God, I love to have all the criteria right there that I can get, so that whenever I go to the throne, the devil can't create no problems. And Jesus is wanting to answer your prayer. And he wants to do it quick. So if you do it right, he'll answer your prayer every time. But if you don't get your answer right quick, he's got a plan. He will answer, because I guarantee, as I see him move and answer prayers for people, I mean, it's amazing the results we get back on emails. Just do what now? Oh, yeah. We have those kind of prayers every day. Every day we have those kind of prayer answers to prayer. Wow. Just think of the promises of God. In fact, let's turn over to Matthew 18:19. That this is one of Kim and Scott's favorite verses. It's one of my favorite verses. I want you to take Matthew 18:19, and I want you to read that, Kim, one more time.
One more time. Here we go. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven.
So, what is the limitations on this, Kim?
Just two people, and yet they are.
What did I just hear over here? None. There's none, is there? Whatsoever two of us on earth agree is done, right? So why don't we use that? What is wrong with us? Do we not know, or what's the problem? Do you know that the more you can pray for one for another, the better off you are? You should be willing to pray for each other for everything. It doesn't mean that what you pray for, you got to believe that it's done. And God answered your prayer. And he's going to answer your prayer every time. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If we can only believe. If we only believe. Jesus. Only believe. Lord, I thank you for putting in me the crazy faith. Amen. I want crazy faith, don't you?
Yes.
I want every one of you to hold your hand up, and I want you to sit, or both your hands. I got to hold the mic. And say, Father, in Jesus' name,
amen. Fill
me with crazy faith. I mean, really crazy faith. Lord, you help me to step out on faith. Anything your word declares, we want to be able to do it. We want to see the miracles happen, because it glorifies the Son of God when these things happen. I am a child of God. All the promises of God are mine. All of them are yes and amen. Every answer is yes.
Every time.
In Jesus' name. So Lord, help me to pray for the people. Not just to lay hands on the sick, but pray for everything. And believe it's going to happen. Help me to step out on crazy faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you want to see God do something good, you got to step out on crazy faith. I mean, just like the other day, I guess I didn't have the crazy faith, but Kim, I said, you know, one of these days, I believe that the Lord's going to open this area here, and something great's going to happen, and we're going to start seeing great and mighty things. I said, when that happens, it won't be long, we'll need an expansion on the building.
Amen.
Now, Kim said, well, why don't I let you leave that the expansion's there right now? So she walked back there and said, the expansion be here in Jesus' name. We're still waiting for it to materialize, but she said, I see it, and it's going to happen right now in Jesus' name. I see that woman has got wild, crazy faith. And that's the way God answers. You know, and here's what probably what will happen. I hate to say it. But one day she walks in here with her wild, crazy faith. And she walks up here and looks, and the whole back wall is out and is another 100 foot long. She said, I can't believe it. Amen. That's the reason I did it. Because there's a bunch of y'all in here that's been here. That's what you would say. Isn't that true? It happened. Isn't that something? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for these wonderful promises. I thank you for this word. I thank you that you're going to do great and mighty things. We are so grateful that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that all these promises are yes and amen, and they're for us. We need to pray for people. We need to stand on God's word for people. In fact, let me tell you, if you're at home, I don't care. God did not say in his word that we had to be Christians to see his word work.
That's right.
So I believe it works. So if you're at home with somebody or by yourself, one of your grandkids or your kids or whatever come back, if you're not feeling real good, tell them, come over here, kid. Come over here. What are you going to do? I just want to hold your hand. Put your hands on that hands and just say, be healed. And our Lord, you said we could ask, what can we ask for?
Anything.
So Lord, I need you to help me to be, so to soften somebody's heart down the street, make them more like Jesus so that they can do great and mighty things. Lord, use them for your glory. Think of something wild. Something really wild that you want Jesus to do for you, and he can do it. I've seen him do it. He can change your heart. He can change anything. So don't doubt. Just start practicing. Practice with your loved ones at home, right? Pray over them. I think of the times that I've been praying for, and somebody come in and pray for me. And then it'd be like that boy the other night that said, he learned these things, and he said, I went down to the church, and he said, I give them this scripture, James 5, 14, 15, 16. I want y'all to turn over to James 5, 14, 15, 16. I want you to see what it says. James 5, 14, 15, 16. What does that say, Cheryl, honey?
If any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay, so if you were to take that information, like this man did, he said, a friend of mine came by and he brought me this scripture. He said, I was a member of a denominational church. He said, we didn't do that. We'd never prayed for the sick. We'd never prayed like this at all. But he says, he come by, and he told me, he said, I want you to read this scripture over and over and over. And what do you think is going to happen if you're going to read James 5, 14, 15, 16 over and over and over all day? What's going to happen? You're going to do what?
You're
going to
believe it.
My land, you're on dangerous ground. But you're absolutely right, brother. If you read that, read that to me one time. Just read what it says. Go ahead. Yeah, let me read it. James 5, 14, 15, 16.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Is that an awesome scripture?
Yeah.
I mean, just think how awesome that is. Well, if you're sick and you got anything wrong with you and you have somebody to pray for you today, well, shame on you. Today might have been your day. But if you don't pray, guess what? You don't get nothing if you don't pray. But anyway, this guy, he was from a denominational church, and he said, my buddy brought this scripture over and said, I want you to read this. Read that to me. Read it. James 5, 14, 15, 16. So he said, I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. He said, I read it for hours. And he finally one day said, do you believe that? He said, well, how could I not believe it? I've read it 100 times. He said, well, then why don't we pray for you? And he said, well, you mean pray for me for healing? He said, wasn't that what that was saying? Yes, it was. He said, well, okay, let's pray for me. So we did. We prayed. After we prayed, the boys up in the church, they called the elders or the deacons, whatever, and 4 or 5 of them came over there. And they told them what they were going to do. They were going to read James 5, 14, 15, 16, and they were going to pray over me for my sickness. So they said, we prayed. And said, after we prayed, they told me, now then, go to the doctor. Does that sound like us?
Yeah.
I mean, is that exactly what we do? Oh, my goodness, I mean, my sister is sick or my daughter is sick and I need you to pray for her. Okay, praise God, I'm going to stand on the scripture. We're going to use Matthew 18:19. We're going to agree in prayer and guarantee your daughter's healed. Do you believe that? Absolutely, I do. Okay. So what are you going to do? Well, I've got an appointment this afternoon. Take her to the doctor. I'm going to take her to the doctor. You didn't believe. You didn't believe. The believing is trusting God. And that's a hard thing to do. But he says in his word that if you don't trust me and don't do what I say, then you're double-minded. And he said, I won't do nothing for you. That's why so few people get healed whenever they're prayed for. Unbelief. That's our problem. Unbelief. But just think, this boy, church, this denomination church, they anointed him though, he'd read the scripture 100 times. They prayed for him, they prayed to prayer of faith for him, and told him to go to the doctor. So his buddy took him to the hospital and he went in, they checked him, and there was not a sign of cancer left in his body. He said, God even healed me even because those that didn't believe. Isn't that something? Who do you think whose faith did God use to get that man healed? Was it the deacons or him?
Him.
The man that had hundreds of and prayed for, read the scripture hundreds of, his faith is the one that did it.
That's right.
So if you got faith, then you use it. What's impossible with God?
Nothing.
That's absolutely right, brother. Nothing. Isn't that something? We got this magnificent book plumb full of these promises, brother. And here I am up here trying my best to beat this into you so that you will believe. Some of you, I'm going to be like that preacher that he went in and he worked on this thing and he worked on it and worked on it. Never could get it done. And he said, Pastor, don't you have another teaching you can do? He said, yeah, I've got another one. But he said, well, why don't you go to it? He said, well, I'm not going to move till y'all start obeying the first one.
There you go.
See, if he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall get well, then he expects you to lay hands on the sick. Isn't that something? What's going to happen if you lay hands on the sick? You're going to see some of them get healed. You may not see them all get healed because they may not all believe. But if you pray for people and lay hands on people on a consistent way, you're going to see God answer your prayer sooner or later. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee he's going to do some great and mighty thing. In fact, I don't know what's going to happen when I walk down underneath all this. Jerry's daddy.
Yes, sir.
Was going to die with cancer.
Yes, sir.
And we did exactly what we just read there with James 5. Did right, Jerry?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he believed.
Yes, sir. He was going south. Yeah. Big time.
Big time. Jerry came to see me.
Yep.
And he said, Thurman, my daddy's dying. He's got cancer. I wonder if you would go and pray for him. So we found the sin.
Yep.
We got the sin taken. He went and get that cure. Got the sin taken care of. Went and talked to mom and dad.
Yep.
Got that little issue taken care of. And then we prayed the prayer. I told him, I said, so Jerry, I'm not going to pray with you because I want the boys to know it's their prayer with God and not me. So I said, I will not go to your dad's house or your church. I want you to go, and I want you to pray, and I want you to be in on that. But I don't have nothing to do with it except show you what to do.
Yes.
And I showed him what to do, and you prayed the prayer of faith with them boys.
Yes.
And what happened to your dad?
Dad recovered.
Your dad recovered. How many more years did dad live?
He was 58 when it happened, and you know how
he was 80.
Oh,
he was 80-something.
Oh, wow.
23 years.
And the, and the doctor, when he operated on him, only gave him 7 chances out of 100.
Wow.
Wow.
But by praying for him and standing on God's word, your daddy got well and lived, what, 23
more years.
Just prayer and the prayer of faith, does it help?
Yes.
See, a lot of y'all didn't know that Jerry had went through something like that, but he did, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Just exactly the right time. Jesus is calling me. Let me. I love it. Now then, that's exactly the way the King works. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Do you have a question?
No.
Or you just praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okie dokie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, for those of you that didn't know that, when Jerry came to me years ago, 25 years ago, he came to me and told me that his dad was dying and that the doctors couldn't heal him. And he wanted to know what I thought about anointing the Lord and praying the prayer of faith. I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, I guarantee it'll work. I said, we get rid of the sin. That's the problem. We got to get rid of the sin. I think Jerry's dad had already spent $1 million in hospital bills, hadn't he, Jerry?
They were way over their head. They ran out of insurance.
Wow.
Didn't have any money either. He didn't have a job. So,
but after Jerry got rid of the sin in the family, do you know unforgiveness is dangerous?
Yeah. Very dangerous.
Once he got the unforgiveness out of everybody's life, got them all to confess their faults before the Lord and pray the prayer of faith, Jerry's dad fully recovered, and he worked. I think he worked about 10 more years, didn't he, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Wonder just think, a man that's fixing to be cut short is going to die, and all we do what the Scripture says. There's a perfect example of 23 more years his dad lived that he would not have lived. Isn't that something? No. All I told him, he said, Thurman, I come to your Sunday school class on a regular basis. I listen to you talk about the power of God and the people you see God heal. And he said, I have a dad that if God don't intervene, he's going to die. So isn't that something? We stood on God's mighty word. Prayed the prayer of faith for Jerry's death. In fact, it wasn't me. It was Jerry and his dad's pastor and their deacons. It was solely within that little Baptist church. When they prayed the prayer of faith, Jerry's dad got well.
Thurman, it was a guy named Mel Bennell who went to our church. And he told me one Sunday night in church when he and his wife and Camilla and I were sitting together. He asked me at the end of church, this was before we did any of this, he asked me at the end of church, he said, did you see that angel sitting on the end of the piano bench tonight? I said, Mel, I saw the piano player singing and playing, but I didn't see any angels. He said, there was an angel sitting on the end of that piano bench. Man, I tell you what, I told Camilla on the way home, I said, he's got it. I said, He's got something we need. He's got what Thurman has.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Faith.
That's all we need, faith.
Yes, faith.
Crazy faith. Isn't that something?
And to really explain this, Thurman, when we went to pray for his daddy, when you're married, we're one.
Yeah.
You know, and his mother had some disagreements with some family members.
Mm.
And we told her, we said, now, Mom, you've got to forgive them for his sake so his prayer can be answered, he can live. I don't know that she totally believed that, but she said, okay, I'm going to call these people. So she called a sister. She called a brother. And she said, I'm sorry that I've done anything. You forgive me and anybody that said they forgave each other.
Amen.
And so, anyway, after that, and we, had him anointed with oil and prayed, he got well and lived 23 years. And I believe that. It works.
Absolutely. It
absolutely.
Does. Aren't we grateful for the Word of God?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Wow.
It does work.
Yes, it does
work.
It does work. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that something? The Word of God, it does definitely work. When God said in His Word, forgive everybody from your heart, what do you mean? Forgive everybody from your heart. It's such a wonderful thing to learn these principles. Over the years, I've learned these principles, and I had no idea, Jerry, how many people just like you and Camilla that I've taught these principles to and prayed the prayer of faith and seen God answer their prayer and change their life forever. Yeah, Cheryl's dad, when he was dying, same thing. God is an awesome God. Yeah. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Lord, we know that you said walk in love with everybody, so we want you to know that we love everybody. Everybody, and we want to be submissive to your word. We want to be able to do what you told us to do. And Lord, if there's anything we need to do, just tell us what it is. We'll definitely do it. We want to walk in love. We're not going to hold nothing against nobody for nothing. We just want to walk in love with everybody. Wow. What a deal. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anybody have a question before we close with the prayer? Any questions? Anything anybody need to do? You need to make a decision for Jesus? If you do, well, I've got prayer warriors that can deal with you. I want my prayer team to stand up. You need to be prayed for. You need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to get healed. You need anything you need from a prayer that we can do. We want to invite you to find you one of these prayer warriors and come forward and sit down with them. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe that they're going to change your life forever. In fact, probably a lot of y'all in this room had never heard the testimony of Jerry and Camilla. Because this happened so many years ago. I mean, I don't even know. How many years ago did something like that did happen? 30 years, something, Jerry?
Yeah, over
30
years ago.
Over 30 years ago. Praise God, I've been doing this a long time. But it still works. We're still teaching the principles of the kingdom. And I'm so grateful for the principles. And we're going to keep on teaching the principles. And we're going to see God heal the sick, save the lost, and everything He does that He does best. We're just going to stand on His word, stand on His promises, and believe that He's going to do a great and mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So praise God. So, okay, I love all of you, and you are dismissed. Praise God. Have a blessed day.